Now back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 9:04 the time. Final hour for us today and this week here on Sports 56 Mornings, the Friday, April 17th, 2026 edition. Greg Gaston, Jay Ham, Eli off. He returns on Monday. We got 10 in a row coming up in just a moment. If you want to jump on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines, please do so at 901-360-8255. Frank Bonner from the Daily Memphian will join us at 925. Currently 69 degrees. We're looking at a high today near 90. The record 2006, 91. So maybe, just maybe, we'll set the record today. Tomorrow looks like a complete washout. Thunderstorms in the forecast. Sunday looks to be beautiful, 72 and sunny. And then early next week, a real good start to the week. Sunshine with temperatures in the upper 70s. We are broadcasting live and locals. We are every single day, every single show, broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studios. The Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo going on at Family Leisure. It's the battle of the brands, seven manufacturers, all fighting for your business. Hot tub starting at $34.99. Check it out, Family Leisure. 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. Before we get to 10 in a row, this was news that was out there for a while, but it became official today. Villanova and Notre Dame will open up the 26-27 college basketball season by tipping off in Rome, Italy. That is right, the Eternal City tip-off set for Notre Dame and Villanova on November 1st. And of course, those who have not been living in a cave, Pope Leo XIV, a Villanova alum, the American Pope, of course, in Rome. I would assume that he would be there. Villanova and Notre Dame to kick off or the tip off the 26-27 college basketball season. Time now for 10 in a row.
Not five, not six, not seven, not eight, not nine, but 10 in a row.
It's the game show that has swept the nation. It's 10 in a row. It's brought to you by Napa Cafe and Gates Lumber. Your home is your best investment, so why not make it the best it can be with help from Gates Lumber? Start with your front door, serving two purposes, curb appeal and security. Gates is solid construction doors built for security, durability, and beauty. See and compare wood, steel, and fiberglass options side by side at Gates Showroom. But it's so much more than just the lumber, custom windows and doors. For homeowners, contractors, interior designers, architects, remodelers, they're at 1253 1253 South Bellevue Boulevard, online at gateslumber.com. You can come by their showroom. They are celebrating over 100 years with a passion for craftsmanship since 1920. Gates Lumber. Today's prize package got a $25 gift card to the Owner's Box in Lakeland, $20 in Corky's Bucks, a $50 gift certificate to Napa Cafe, and two Malco movie passes. If you've won in the last 30 days, you are ineligible. Here is the question. Teams who have played in the NBA Finals since 2000, in this century, teams that have played in the NBA Finals since 2000. I'll give you the name of a team if they have participated in an NBA Final. It's a yes. If not, it's a no. Let's begin. We go to Steven. Good morning, Steven.
Hello, good morning.
Teams who have played in the NBA Finals since 2000, the Cavaliers.
Yes.
The Nets.
No.
360-8255, that is the number to call. Teams who have played in the NBA Finals since 2000, the last 25, now going on 26 years. Mark is next. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning.
76ers.
Yes.
The Mavericks.
Yes.
The Bulls.
No.
The Kings.
No.
The Wizards.
No.
The Celtics.
Yes.
The Clippers.
Yes.
360-8255. He was on a roll. I thought he was going to win. Mario is next. Mario, you haven't won in the last 30 days?
No, it was about a month or two ago.
Okay. All right. We got you. Teams who have played in the NBA Finals since 2000, the Cavaliers.
Yes.
The Nets.
No.
360-8255 is the number. The phones are ringing. Jay Ham is running around trying to answer these. We'll get back to your calls here in just a second. The question again, teams who have played in the NBA Finals since 2000. I don't care if they won or not. They had to have played. 360-8255, your prize package, $25 gift certificate to the owner's box in Lakeland. Really cool place to go. $20 in Corky Bucks. We know about Corkies. Just talked about them a second ago. $50 gift certificate to Napa Cafe. I'm going to talk about them in just a second. And two Malco movie passes. We go back to the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines. Jacob is next. Good morning, Jacob.
Good morning.
All right. The 76ers.
Yes.
The Mavericks.
Yes.
The Bulls.
No.
The Kings.
No.
The Wizards.
No.
The Celtics.
Yes.
The Clippers.
No.
The Pelicans.
No.
The Raptors.
Yes.
The Pacers.
Yes.
Jacob, you are a winner. Congratulations, my friend. I'll put you on hold. Jay Ham will get your information. That is it. That's 10 in a row. Brought to you by the great folks at Gates Lumber and Napa Cafe. Napa Cafe celebrating 28 years in 2026. Absolutely fantastic. Providing you with an extraordinary evening. Celebrate with a crowd or an intimate evening on the town. Five dining rooms, including the private wine cellar. It's been a while, but brought my wife to that private wine cellar. We had a great meal at Napa Cafe. You can stay in. You can dine out with curbside pickup for the full menu. They're located at 5101 Sanderlin Avenue. Sit back, relax, celebrate. Leave the cooking to Napa Cafe. They're open Wednesday through Saturday for dinner starting at 5 o'clock. For reservations, visit their website at napacafe.com. Okay, so congratulations to Jacob. He wins with list two. List one, which we did not finish. Cavaliers, yes. Nets, yes. Rockets, think about it. Rockets, no. The Rockets have not played in an NBA final in this century. The Heat, yes. The Suns, yep. The Magic, yes. The Timberwolves, no. The Warriors, of course they did. The Hornets, no. The Pistons, you betcha. There you go. That's 10 in a row. Again, brought to you by Gates Lumber and Napa Cafe. All right. Fox Sports CEO Eric Shanks said yesterday that he is in favor of the 24-team college football playoff pitch from Big Ten Commissioner Tony Battiti. Now, obviously, Fox would benefit, you would think, because it would open up other networks. Right now, the playoffs are on ESPN, ABC. It would open up Fox, I would think, to be involved in the playoffs. We know that Fox is involved with so many big games, but not the playoff. So it makes sense that Eric Shanks wants it to go to 24. But Tony Battiti, which we've talked about ad nauseum, wanting the Big Ten to go to 24. And here we sit at 12. Because they couldn't even come to an agreement to increase to 16. 24, to me, is ridiculous. From a financial standpoint, it's not ridiculous to guys like Eric Shanks, the CEO of Fox Sports. But to me, that's just too many games, too time-consuming. There may be some people out there that like it. The more, the merrier. Not I. I think 16 is the number. I'm fine with 12. I don't have an issue with what's going on right now. I think we will get to 16, but I'm fine with 12. But as far as 24, I think that's absolutely ridiculous. Major League Baseball yesterday. Did you guys watch what the Angels and the Yankees were doing? Four-game series played in the Bronx. Each team won a couple of games. But the story within the story, Aaron Judge, Mike Trout, two future Hall of Famers, combined to hit nine home runs. Nine home runs. Aaron Judge, with his homer yesterday, That was his fifth homer in the last seven games. Meanwhile, Mike Trout has hit a home run in four straight games in the Yankees series. Trout ends up hitting the five. Judge hits the four. If you like the fireworks, you would have loved to watch that series. Maybe you did, between the Halos and the Yankees. But again, it's the Halos. In the end, where are they going? Home for the postseason. The Yankees expect to be in the mix. But if Mike Trout can just stay healthy, that's what it's all about with him. All right, some more basketball news. We talked earlier about Memphis. And yesterday's news, Jerry Deng, NC State transfer, commits to Memphis, 6'9 forward, a shooter who played eight games for NC State, averaged 6 points, two rebounds. Not real impressive, right? But he ended up being redshirted. He played the year prior at Florida State, had some good numbers. He's a pretty good three-point shooter. He's tall. He started at Rochester. He's the cousin of Luol Deng. But Jerry Deng, now a Memphis Tiger, again, according to all the reports, not officially announced by the school, but a guy who certainly fits the mold, tall, lanky, athletic, and a pretty good shooter, which we know that Penny needs a lot of good shooters. But we are not, or they are not, in a situation right now where they have the bigs that they need. Deng is tall, but he's not big. He's not a guy who's going to bang. They need the down-low bangers. They need the guys, especially on the defensive end, to push guys out of the paint. And we'll see what happens, because I think that's a direction they're absolutely looking at. They're looking at every possible situation that's out there, whether it be international guys or whether it be portal guys that Memphis is looking at. Now, according to Jason Munns, Memphis target Colby Garland and his visit to Memphis has been canceled. So after Georgia Tech jumped in the fray, where he is reportedly heading to this weekend to visit, Memphis knocked out. So Colby Garland, high-scoring player from San Jose State. Look, 20 points a game is 20 points a game. You can't argue with that. I'm not a big fan of the players coming from horrible programs.
No, you don't want anybody that's coming from a losing culture coming into a new culture, because they bring those losing habits.
Yes, sometimes you can't prevent it, but this guy played for a team, I think they won 4 or 5 games last year.
And you don't want to. I can understand bringing a few of them over, because, you know, those can be separate from, I guess, the rest of the bad apples, which I know that they all, one will spoil a bunch, but some of those guys want to get away from those losing cultures and losing habits.
Yeah, it's kind of a tricky situation, because you look at a guy like that, and again, apparently they're not going to even have a shot at him, but he's 20 points per game. Is the guy going to come in and he's not so concerned about wins and losses? Right. He came from a losing culture. He's concerned about his points.
All right.
And wants his points, and would he be selfish?
Taking his resume into account, trying to make his resume look good, never mind if we won or if we lost.
Right now, again, as we talked about in hour number one, I like what Penny's doing. I like the pieces he's putting into place. Now, it's anybody's guess as to how impactful the freshman will be in year number one. And you hate to say, well, you know, give him time, couple of years. We don't know. We don't know if players stick around for more than a year now.
I'm saying you can't even go with that logic anymore just because of what you said, because year to year, you can be on the move.
Exactly. So if it's a player that you feel can contribute right away, you're putting him in. There's no time. You can't sit there and wait and hope. I guess there may be a player that you could redshirt, as long as you're going to get that commitment that player is coming back for another season. And right now, I don't know how you make the commitment in this world of the portal. But right now, with what they have, which is only 3, 5, 6, 8 guys. They have 8 guys, 2 that are coming back from last year's team. Right now, you go, okay, Fred Smith and Cello Jackson, I think certainly could be contributors in year one, and they may very well be in the end. I don't know if Parker Pounds is a first-year guy. That's a guy who I could see staying and developing. But the other guys they went out and got, we talked about Deng. who certainly is a guy that can be a contributor. But again, he wasn't scoring a lot of points and ends up being redshirted. With Biba Cummings, the kid they got from Pitt, ended up getting hurt last year. But I think he could be a real helpful guy as a combo guard. But I think he's more of a two. He doesn't facilitate that well. He only averages about a one assist. So I still think they're looking for that point guard. That point guard that can lead the team. And then you got Babers, the three-point shooter. And you need a few of those guys. I think that will be extreme. He'll be extremely important. But that's still a puzzle that has a lot of pieces missing.
Whole lot of pieces.
You got to get your bigs. You got to get your point guard. You have to get a couple more shooters. But I think the steps that he's taking, that Penny's taking, is on the right track.
Yeah.
And look, he doesn't even have his full staff yet. He's got his four assistant coaches, led by Tony Madlock as the associate head coach. They have their general manager in Gabriel Harris. They still got to get their video coordinator. They still have to get their strength and conditioning guy, which is going to be extremely important for the offseason. So there's a lot to do with Memphis basketball, a lot for Penny and his staff to do, but there's still time. This is still early in the game. Penny's been notorious for getting guys in August. I know he would love in a perfect world to have all these guys on campus by June 1st.
Right.
And we're only in April, April 17th.
Still got a shot.
Still have 6 weeks to even get to that point. So I think there's plenty of time. I think what's going on right now behind the scenes is very good because, again, it's not unlimited resources. This isn't Penny running out there and going, hey, Google me. I'm Penny Hardaway, right? He would never say that, but right. He could. He could go Kurt Cignetti on these players. And that's not working now in this day and age of money, right?
You got to get to that bottom line of what the cash is like.
You got to get to the bottom line. That's why a guy like Garland, who I don't know from Adam – but what Munn said, you know, reading between the lines here, reading the tea leaves, Georgia Tech's flying him in. Okay, I'm canceling Memphis because I know Georgia Tech can go well and beyond what Memphis can do. And again, Memphis can offer pretty good money for where they are positioned. But when you're trying to battle teams from the ACC and the Big Ten and really in basketball, the Big East, to go along with the Big 12 and obviously the SEC – you're going to fail most of the time.
Yeah. Just the part, like you say, it's just the rich get richer. You have those haves and have-nots, and we're on that unfortunate side, not quite of the have-nots, but by comparison to the other monsters, we don't quite have as much.
We have the Yaxel Lendeborg stories and the quarterback from South Carolina. What's his name?
Lenora Sellers. Yeah.
Sellers. We have those stories where it's like, hey, man, I could have got $8 million here, but I settled for like five or I settled for four.
Sell the overvalue, like, you know,
right,
I'm worth more, but I settled for this.
I don't know what's true with that, but my point is this. With Memphis, you're not going to get a kid, I don't think anyway, that says, you know, I could have gone here. I could have went to Creighton for $2.5 million, but I'm going to settle to go to Memphis for one.
Right.
No, there's no way that's happening.
Nah.
If you're talking about, well, I can go here for 1.2, a notoriously bad program, but a power conference program. I can go to Memphis. They had a terrible year, but we know their history and playing for Penny, and they're offering me 1.1, a $100,000 less. Okay, I could do that. But when we're talking about $500,000, $1 million, $1.5 million, $2 million, not everybody out there is making $3-4 million. So that's a big difference. A guy who's offered $800,000 and only offered $200,000, that's a big difference. A guy who's offered $500,000, a guy's offered $100,000, that's a big difference.
All right, but like you said, don't tell me you got offered eight, but you was cool at settling at $3.5 million, $4 million.
No, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. All right, we'll take a timeout. And when we come back, Frank Bonner on Frank Bonner on Memphis football. They will not have the Spring Fest event tomorrow because of the impending weather. They're going to wrap up their practice, though, tomorrow, indoors, private. That'll be practice number 15. That'll be the first spring session under the leadership of Charles Huff. Frank's been out there to practices. I've seen him out there. I haven't been to all of them. Frank's been to all of them, I'm sure. And he'll give us his thoughts as we go into the offseason, workouts, things of that nature before camp opens up in August. And Memphis playing in week zero right off the bat, playing UNLV. So they put their feet right into the fire in Charles Huff's first year. We'll get Frank's thoughts on the football program at Memphis when we return. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Sports 56 Mornings.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back. 9:27 the time. Final 30 and change here before we call it a weekend, and that weekend can't come too quickly. We got a little technical issue with the phones right now, so until we can get that fixed, we will not have Frank on the program. Frank is standing by and ready to go, but all of a sudden, it's not working.
I have to blame it on our 10-in-a-row winner, although it's not his fault. But as soon as he won and I returned to get his information, I couldn't get any sound out of him. So I got his first name, but I just got everything on hold. Hopefully he'll call us back, our winner, give us a call back ASAP so I can finish that
so
up.
So what was his name again?
First name was Jacob. I want to say his name was Jacob Johnson. Jacob, give us a text back at 360-8255 with your phone number and everything else.
All right. So, Jacob, the winner of 10 in a row, hit us up via text on the Sissy's Log Cabin text line, 901-360-8255, so we can get your information and we can get your prize package, the best laid plans of mice and men. Sometimes those things happen. Okay. Hopefully we'll get Frank on. As far as football, since I was going to use this segment to talk Tiger football, again, unfortunately for fans out there that have not had a chance to go to practice, some, of course, Highland 100 members and others have. There have been coaches that have gone out there to practice. Obviously, a lot of recruits. I saw more recruits at Tigers practices in the spring than I've ever seen in spring ball prior. Through all the other head coaches, I know that they've been out there, but I've never seen that many. There were tons of recruits every single practice that I was at, which is great. It really is. And I think a lot of that is local, and a lot of that we give credit to friend of the show, former Whitehaven High School head coach Rodney Salisbury, who's in that position now over at the University of Memphis, to give that or make that relationship with Coach Charles Huff and the staff and all the coaches in the area that tight, that strong, so those players will look at Memphis when they're looking at possibilities to play their college ball. To have that relationship is vital. And so when I've gone out there about 5-6 times, that's what I saw. I noticed that right away. However, did not stay long at the practices. I didn't make a big deal. You know, being on the broadcast team, normally we're allowed to be out there for the practice, the full practice, and hopefully that'll be the case during the season because it really helps us in our preparation to broadcast the football games. But it was spring ball, no big deal to me. So I was out there just observing little bits and pieces and concentration certainly on the quarterbacks. And I think they're in a pretty good position with the quarterback room. The two guys that will battle for the starting job, I think most people know that follow Tiger football, with Marcus Stokes and with Aaron Nolan. But they have a young guy they brought in from Southern Miss who I think has potential. There's five guys on the or in the quarterback room. Troutman also from Collierville, who was with them last year. But the battle's between Aaron Nolan and Marcus Stokes. And so what I saw for the most part, and what I think I saw was Stokes running with what could be the first team, although I'm sure all the jobs haven't been sewn up in spring ball. I'm sure there will be jobs that will still be fought over in camp in August. I believe that to be true because Charles Huff said that when we met with him that a lot of the battles will continue on into August. And even if they don't, he's not going to say that. He's not going to tell us that. And he's not going to tell the players that, because he wants the fight going on in August in camp leading up to the games. And it's going to be a very important, I don't even want to call it off-season. There's never really an off-season. But coming up in the dog days, May, June, and July, when you're doing workouts and strength and conditioning coach becomes so important, and you're doing your classes, you're going to summer school, you're going to the meetings, that's all vital. That's all extremely important. But then you step back on the field early in August because you're playing week zero. So you want to be in the best position you can be. And that's why you had to utilize these 15 practices. It's unfortunate, again, that the fan base, those that weren't privy to practices, will not get a chance to get a sneak peek at these guys. But I think with the experience that Stokes has of having played at West Florida, probably will earn him the starting job. Again, I don't know. Aaron Nolan certainly has the potential, but doesn't have the experience. And he was at a bigger school, two big schools, right? Ohio State and then South Carolina. But he has the potential. I think in this day and age, you better have a couple of quarterbacks because of the possibilities of injuries. You don't wish that on your worst enemy, but
can't wish it. I mean, but the more the merrier now, especially if they can come in and contribute, you know, develop right away. Yeah, you need it.
Well, the problem is, again, and this was a problem even before NIL, that if you're a you're the quarterback who's beaten out and you think you deserve to be starting, then more than likely you're going to hit the transfer portal. That was, again, even before, well, before it wasn't even called the transfer portal, it just transferred. And now it's willy-nilly out there with rules and regulations that are just up in the air, not anything that's regulated that needs to be regulated with transfer. That's why you look at a resume of a player now and you see four schools in 4 years or five schools in 5 years. We're leaning towards the 5 years to play, starting with your senior year or when you turn 19. That looks like it's going to be 5 for 5. But as far as it is right now, players that are beaten out, most of the time, they're not sticking around. They see the writing on the wall, they move on. And there's also opportunities, of course, to possibly even make more NIL money at another place that looks at you as an answer to the problem. But we had it before. Again, players were beaten out. They were looking to leave. Some would stick it out for the competition and hoping that they'd get their shot the next year. Or they knew that they would get their time at some point during a season. It is very hard. It's very hard for these players, these quarterbacks specifically, to go through an entire season and not miss a game. I mean, look at what happened to Ole Miss last year. Starting quarterback got hurt. Trinidad Chambliss walked in there. The rest is history.
You had one ready to go.
And I think Memphis is in a good position. So, again, I don't foresee Charles Huff saying, coming out of spring, yeah, Stokes is our starter. But I think Stokes would have the lean on Aaron Nolan, just from what I've observed. Again, looking at guys, and I think maybe the starters on the offensive line, maybe the starting quarterback, but I don't know from the short time that I can observe. But again, you're the coach. You want competition all the way up until game week, and then you're playing an opponent. Now you're playing against each other, but he wants, I'm sure that, and every coach wants that, they want that competition. They want that competition early and often.
It creates a better environment for your team when you have that kind of competition like that.
I think so, and I think it helps the individual players as well.
Absolutely.
You want that competitive edge. You don't want anybody to get fat and lazy. So that's some of what I observed. The speed that he has emphasized, that we got to be fast, and we're going to play fast, but we're not going to play loose. We're going to play fast. We're going to play wide as well. We're going to use and utilize the entire field, the width. And so I see bits and pieces of that in practice. Not a lot, but I see bits and pieces. the speed, some merchants out there, some speed merchants out there. But the receiving core, that's going to be a big question. Who's going to step up? They got some guys that are capable. The running back room will be interesting. It looks like, and again, I don't know. I think it's Gardner they brought from Southern Miss. Could have the edge over Dallin, Hayden. And I think Covey is going to be a really good, versatile player. I think they'll use all of those guys. Defensive line, deep. Looks to be deep. Remember, they're going to the 4-3 this year.
Right.
Linebackers, a little bit iffy. They had some good linebackers last year. They lost some good linebackers from that team. And the secondary's got some players. They really have some players. So I'm excited about that. And that's kind of my assessment. When I was out there, I never saw a punter or a kicker. I know they're out there, but I never saw anybody punt or anybody kick. And we know how important special teams are.
Right.
Gotta the third have facet of the game.
I don't think they'll be playing hard for football like in the Sandlot. So we'll have to punt the football at some point probably.
But again, they'll practice tomorrow. It'll be indoors because of the weather, and it's unfortunate for the fans. But they're going to have some event in August. When it's announced, the particulars, we don't know at this moment. But you'll get that chance to watch Memphis football before you watch them in person. And I was on with Brett and Brian, as I am on every Thursday at 5 o'clock, talking about this yesterday. I think this is an extremely important year, the 26-27 scholastic year, for a number of reasons. First of all, football, I think, will have a good chance to have a lot of ticket sales, season ticket sales, and hopefully even close to or set a record for season tickets. Why do I think that? Because, first of all, with the renovations that are being done that will be wrapped up before the start of the season, it's going to be so nice. The season tickets for people that are over there, and I don't know what the exact vernacular is for what they're calling each area, but private boxes and things of that nature. Then the suites. The suites are all sold out, I think, is what I heard, that they're all sold out. So people are going to want to be there. They're going to want to walk through that area that where the renovations were. Again, look on. I guess you can go to Go Tigers Go and see the live renovations going on, but also probably read more about that and all that. And you could also look at ticket prices and things of that nature. I think there's going to be an influx of people wanting to be a part of that. That doesn't mean that there won't be people on the other side, because everybody can't afford to be up there in those seats, which are a higher rent district, and all those private boxes and things of that nature. But it's more options. So I think they're going to do really, really good. Then you throw in, I think there's the excitement, because people, even though Ryan did a very good job. He didn't do a great job. He did a very good job. You know, win your 9, win your 10. That's fantastic, but not get to the championship game.
Right.
Okay? That was the downer. I think people are excited that there's a change.
Well, I was just about to say that it sounds like the refresh button has just been hit over the entire athletic department. What you're doing with football, basketball, listen to what Coach Reiser's talking about each and every Monday, what he's got going with the baseball squad, new women's hoops coach as well, who's probably going to bring some fire, into that. Everything just needed a refresh.
Yeah, and you're right. I was about to get to those other things, but you're absolutely right. It's a refresh. But with football in particular, the excitement of the renovations of the new stadium, and then the coach.
And we said this before that, it's been so long that Memphis always kind of carried the banner as being a basketball school, but as Tommy West told them, you got to put football out in front and let football lead the way and let it take care of itself.
Well, it has to be football, but it can't be at the demise of basketball.
No.
It can't be one or the other. It has to be both. And unfortunately, a lot of mid-major schools, it's one or the other.
They suffer from that, where they have to pick and choose, and they can't allow all the programs around it to grow in the same way.
They don't have the resources. They don't have the financial backing.
Right.
But with the excitement of Charles Huff, again, the schedule's the schedule. You play in the American Conference. It is what it is. And the non-conference, while it's a tough non-conference schedule, those teams aren't coming to Memphis. So if people want to just look at it and go, well, they're not playing anybody, I don't want to buy my tickets, that's fine. That's your prerogative. But Real Tigers fans, they're going to want to see this team. They're going to want to see what Huff is all about. They're going to see these new players, and they're going to want to see the renovation. So I think you couple all that, there's a good chance they're going to do very well with ticket sales. And if they go out there and beat UNLV and then a couple weeks later beat Boise State, now all of a sudden you're talking about, okay, if they lose those games the opposite, then maybe the people that haven't already purchased tickets are like, ah, is this team going to stink? I still believe that this team could be good, but I have no idea. And I think if they are average, I don't think people should lose their minds. It's year one. But I think they have a chance to be really good. But I think that sets the tone for basketball. Football Absolutely. Sets the tone for basketball.
Yeah.
Now it's up to Penny right now to be putting together the roster to be incredibly competitive in that daunting non-conference schedule and then to go in there and just clobber as many teams as he can in the American. We have seen so many of the better players in the American Conference already depart for bigger paydays somewhere else. And then in football, we know that North Texas, Tulane, South Florida all have new head coaches just like Memphis does. So there's no reason why that momentum can't continue. And if Penny goes out there, which he has done a couple of times in the last 3 years, win those big non-conference games, not all of them. You're not going to win all of them. But last year, it wasn't that good. They weren't able to do it. If they can get over the hump and get back to where they were, winning those games, going out to Maui, winning games. I mean, what they did is incredibly impressive. If they can come back and win a few of these games, get people excited, then you go into the regular season, there's new players, there's a new identity. Other than Penny, there's a new coaching staff, and then that momentum continues on. The new women's basketball coach. Again, these Olympic sports, obviously, they're not as well attended. The money, they're not going to make money off them. They're going to probably lose money off them, but it's still part of the whole big picture. And I think one leads to another. So therefore, I think that the 2026-2027 scholastic season for Memphis Athletics is going to be pivotal. Absolutely pivotal. Folks, they got a lot going on over at Dinstals. Last week, I told you they had their March Madness deal. They counted down to what was the best product. It ended up being chocolate-covered strawberries. And nobody can argue with chocolate-covered strawberries. But they sold out early last week. They sold out. So they're going to continue the special I talked about last Friday. The special price today through tomorrow, okay? Unfortunately, I do the ads on Friday, so it was probably going on for the last few days. But today, tomorrow, you take advantage of it while they last. The 2026 Sweet Champion, the chocolate-covered strawberries at a special price. So head on over to Dinstals, take advantage of it. Next week is Administrative Professionals Week. A little box of chocolate wouldn't hurt anybody, right? You can go over there and get the chocolate-covered Heath, the chocolate-covered pretzels, all kinds of delectables covered in that delicious Dinstals chocolate and the fondant with the chocolate-covered fruits from strawberries to grapes to pineapple, to whatever the case may be. Cashew Crunch, of course, is a favorite of many, many as well. Five locations in Collierville, in Germantown, Pleasant View, that's in East Memphis. Excuse me. Pleasant View is where they make the candies. That's where the factory is. East Memphis is Laurelwood, which is near my house. I should know that off the top of my head. And then downtown Memphis, not far from the Orpheum. Five locations to get yourself some Dinstals candies and chocolates. They've been putting smiles on people's faces for 124 years and going strong. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everybody. Greg Gaston, Jay Hamm, Eli off today. He will return on Monday, 9:50 the time. Our final segment here on Sports 56 Mornings. With the phones inoperative right now, we will reschedule our buddy Frank Bonner from the Daily Memphian for some time next week. I have a great story. Look, you learn something new every day, somebody once said. And even though I have been in the sports business for decades, I never knew this story. We just had the Masters. Wrapped up last week, Rory won his second straight green jacket. This blew me away. I not only read this story, but I listened to a podcast about this guy by the name of Jeff Knox. Okay? Jeff Knox has played a little bit on the PGA Tour, but kind of an obscure guy. Didn't hold his card for a long time. He's a Georgia native. May have went to the University of Georgia. But when an odd number of players make the cut, meaning going into Saturday, they use what they call a marker. He has brought in from the outside to fill out the first pairing on Saturday and Sunday. In other words, they don't want a player going out by themselves. They want that player for camaraderie and for pace. They don't want that one guy going out there and finishing 2 hours before everybody else finishes. It's just what they do, and it's not just the Masters. So this guy, Jeff Knox, from 2002 through 2021, was used as the marker. Not every year, but again, when it was an odd number going into Saturday. Do you know Jay Hamm, who holds the course record at Augusta National?
No, I don't.
Jeff Knox, 11 under 61. Jeff Knox owns the course record. Do you know who's considered the best on the greens at Augusta National, where players talk to him to get his advice about how to conquer the undulation that is Augusta National's greens? You know who that is?
That's got to be Jeff Knox.
It's Jeff Knox. Okay, let me give you some other facts. Jeff Knox went out and played with Rory McIlroy in one of the early Masters when he was not doing too well. Of course, he went 17 years before he finally won. He won back-to-back. Rory finished the final five holes. I think they said it was something like birdie, eagle, par, birdie, birdie, and he lost by one to Jeff Knox.
A hell of a loss.
Sergio Garcia was paired with Jeff Knox, and they made a bet. I don't know what the bet was. Sergio Garcia shot 73. Jeff Knox shot 72. Not only did Sergio Garcia not pay up the bet, he refused to shake his hand after the round. What an ass. Then you have Miguel Jimenez. Is that his name? Yeah, Jimenez. He was paired with Knox. First hole, Knox outdrives him. Jimenez comes over to him and says, "Don't ever outdrive me again." In other words, don't show me up. You're not in this tournament. You're a marker. He proceeded to bomb him over the ball that Jimenez would hit and where it would lie after he teed off.
I like Jeff Knox.
Jeff freaking Knox. Finally, I think a couple of years ago, 2023, because he's getting older, was replaced by a new marker by the name of Michael McDermott, who I've read about and says that he is an absolute bomber. But I don't know if we'll ever live up to the legacy of one Jeff Knox. Known as a course specialist, frequently lauded by PGA Tour pros for his unparalleled ability to read Augusta's treacherous greens. Ladies and gentlemen, I implore you, if you knew of Jeff Knox, I applaud, because I had no idea. Now, I've heard, don't get me wrong, I heard the name Jeff Knox on the PGA Tour. I never knew about this with the Masters. Is that wild as heck?
That's very wild. And he obviously got under the skin of these other dudes.
He did. You know? Who are you to do what you did? Well, hey, buddy, I own the course record. An 11 under 61. I own the course record. Not Bobby Jones, not Jack, not Arnie, not Tiger, not Scotty.
Is that a normal thing for golfers to try to, I guess, take liberties with other young golfers and like, don't show me up or don't do this, that, or the other? Is that normal?
Some, just because they have a crappy personality.
They just have that air about them like that.
Well, you saw what Garcia did when he smashed his driver.
Yeah.
And then a couple of days later, he apologizes. It was Max Homa on a podcast yesterday who came out and said, basically, that's you can't do that. It's uncalled for. Any professional should never do damage to the courses and things of that nature. I'm paraphrasing here.
I always laugh at it when the older players and the veterans, they do that to the younger players. Because when you broke that down as far as, like, don't show me up, it reminded me of a story that Earl Watson told his rookie season where he's guarding John Stockton. And Gary Payton told him to pick John Stockton up full court. Be up in him, be up in his chest, the whole thing. He said John Stockton threw the basketball directly at his face. And he's thinking somebody's behind him, but nobody was behind Earl. So Earl looked, he seen nobody behind him, and Stockton told him, just cut it out. Don't do that.
Wow. I am not surprised by this text, our walking encyclopedia of knowledge, Brett Norsworthy. You can hear from 3 to 6. I know Jeff Knox well. When he did go to Georgia, I said, I think he went to Georgia. Son went to Alabama. His family, legendary Augusta family, long members at Augusta Country Club, and the National, always an amateur. Never played on tour, so he never did play on tour. But I remember that name. I definitely remember the name. He said, great guy. So I don't know if Brett knew all this, but he probably did, about being the marker extraordinaire and the holder of the lowest round ever shot at Augusta National.
Just that's cool.
An incredible story. All right, so once again, we have the two play-in games tonight. That'll wrap up the play-in, and we begin the playoffs tomorrow with 4 series tomorrow underway, 4 on Sunday. These are best of sevens. Tonight, the Hornets and the Magic with Charlotte, a 3.5-point favorite. The Warriors and the Suns with the Suns, 3.5-point favorites. Again, Grizzlies fans will be rooting for the Magic to lose, the Suns to lose, and when it's all said and done, and even after game one, if the Magic lose, we will know, and the Grizzlies will know, that they will have 2 lottery picks come June. That will do it for us today. I want to thank John Varlas and Joe DeLeon for joining us. Again, we will reschedule Frank Bonner for sometime next week. Waldo and Friends on Sports 56 is coming up next. For Eli Savoy, for Jay Hamm, I'm Greg Gaston. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.